sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Ooh, thank you. Not bad for an old guy. And we're sending that other old guy down with the HMS Beagle. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation because it's the best way.
It's hard to be serious when you're looking at serious things. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, what I'm saying is, well, what we have to do
when
is...
When you're talking about us, we can't get serious.
We can't get serious.
All the time.
We can't be serious. It just hurts too much to be serious all the time.
It is.
No, today we want to talk a little bit more. We're following up a little bit of terminologies, and really the terminology debate has not only gone into the classroom as part of the area which we're going to talk about today, but really it's gone to the courts. You know, Sink the Beagle exists because there is a controversy in the United States, and for that matter in the world, over our origins, where we came from and where we're going. And there's powerful groups of people which have a lot at stake in the debate.
There are movements. And of course, John, like you say, we're talking about topics that are very hot in the public sector
now.
It is hot, burning hot. And when we talk about intelligent design, that seems to be the button that pushes this thing. As we talk about it, it seems to be the core of the argument. Can we talk about intelligent design?
Yes.
Okay. Well, no, we are here on the radio.
We can, but even science teachers can. They are not forbidden in the public schools. Yes, science teachers have the right to teach science.
Have you not seen the Expelled movie yet, John?
Well, I'm not saying they're going to like it, the results of teaching it.
And you're not saying they keep their job?
No, but what I'm saying, legally, they are allowed to teach it, and there are legitimate scientific critiques of Darwin, of neo-Darwin theory. But they have to fulfill all the requirements of curriculum and stick to teaching science. And that's the key. Under the neo-Darwinism ideas and chemical evolutionary theories, they have to sort of abide by them. But they can talk about the weaknesses of that.
You mean you can actually criticize Darwin in a public school setting?
Yeah, Darwin can be criticized.
I'm skeptical, John. I really am.
Yeah, well, I agree that it's not. He can't be criticized very loudly and very often, but he can be criticized. I criticize him all the time, but of course, I'm not in public school.
Well, I could say something about maybe his shaggy beard, but I don't know if I can criticize his theory.
You know, those who believe in intelligent design, though, people wonder. They think they're fighting that intelligent design should be taught in the classroom. And the people that believe in it say, no, it shouldn't be taught because there's elements of it that really can't be proven scientifically.
Okay.
In a sense.
Well, but it's based, intelligent design, as I understand it, John, is also based on a critique of Darwinian theory in this sense, which is pure science. Darwin's theory doesn't seem to explain the random changes and the mutations and the whatever, the chance taking place in the universe doesn't seem to explain the complexity we see in nature. And so to critique it, you know, can you do that without getting into religion?
It's kind of hard.
It's hard because you seem to have overall two views of existence. Either we got here by ourselves or we got here with help.
You know, but the irony is, we got here with help is the one I like. But the point is, when you talk about it, you seem to only politicize the issue.
Ooh.
The way it gets talked about and the way it's handled only creates further chasms, and people are talking against each other. You know, there was a famous quote that I want to read to you, Stan.
Okay.
And I want to ask a question, who said it?
Who said it?
Here's the quote.
Oh, I love quizzes.
Here's your quiz. Who said this? A fair result can be obtained only by fully balancing the facts and the arguments on both sides of each question. Who said it?
NBA Commissioner Donald Stern on the question of referees getting calls right?
No.
Let's see. I give up.
Charles Darwin? Charles Darwin was open-minded.
Charles Darwin said we can critique any... I mean, that's appropriate to look at any theory... Hear both sides?
Fair, he said only, you only can get a fair result
by
listening to both sides and facts for or against the arguments of each question. Mm-hmm. And so that is the one thing that really isn't happening in our schools. We're not getting a fair hearing of the evidence. One side is being squished.
Yeah, Jeannie Scott, who is leading some of the fight of making sure that we don't bring intelligent design into the public school setting, has I know got my daughter, among others, really upset when she made a comment of that our young people can't deal with any other theories or critiques because they can't handle it. They can't handle it. So we want to protect them from other theories and other viewpoints and critiques of Darwin.
Yeah, we want to abandon them to nihilism, basically, is what they're saying. But no.
Hopelessness on the way to Big Crunch.
No. And the question some people have is, well, therefore, intelligent design has been banned from public schools. And the reality of that is no.
Yeah. Well, court cases seem to have been going generally against intelligent design being talked about, but have they really absolutely forbidden it, or what's the status of the court system?
Well, though the court system may allow it in theory, in practice it is not allowed. Mm-hmm. The community itself has sort of policed itself and policed those who think differently out of the system, if as far as possible.
Okay.
And so that's sort of what seems to be going on in the classroom. Mm. And people argue back and forth, you know, should school regard biology teachers to teach both the strengths and the weaknesses of, you know, selection according to Darwin or neo-Darwinism? Mm-hmm. And people argue that. And, and I think we agree they should, you know, if nothing else, that much, you know. But really, when you look at the big issue. We're looking at Darwinism on one hand, you know, or neo-Darwinism, and intelligent design on the other.
Yes.
The intelligent designers aren't what they would deny the term creationists. They basically are just, like you said prior sync the Beagle, they're talking about whether it happens randomly or more maybe in a in a controlled way.
What's interesting is this fight, this controversy is centered in the United States right now in particular. And in the United States, all Gallup and Newsweek polls and everything about people's personal beliefs show that over 91% of America believes in God. And that something like 85 to 88% of Americans believe that God had something to do with us getting here. And so, and yet when you look at the scientific community, I should say in particular, the science leaders of the scientific institutions in America, when polls have been done of them, it's often up in the, there was a famous poll done in Nature magazine of leading scientists, and it said something like 70% or more did not believe in a God who interacted with the world.
Yeah.
And yet,
a deist, basically, at best.
At best. And many of them didn't believe in any God whatsoever, much higher percentage than the American population. And so you have really a kind of a shall we say, a conflict between two worldviews.
Yeah, an academic scientific worldview versus the public worldview.
Well, the customers, the students, you know.
Yeah, the customer comes in thinking differently.
Yeah.
And the irony is, Stan, is what you really have, in that sense, if you want to describe, is what we'd call in political science a tyranny of the minority, where it's almost like a totalitarian, dictatorial minority, which is superimposing their wishes upon the majority. And that's what's really going on in many cases.
Well, you know, I don't have a problem of a teacher teaching kids, teaching my kids, whatever, if their personal beliefs are different from my kids. That's not a big deal to me. We all have different beliefs. But the idea of squashing any kind of discussion against my worldview doesn't strike me as what academia is all about. You kind of think you're there to learn what all the options are and where's the weakness in this theory and the strength in that one. And
and that's really sad, is because when we really look at the history of the debate, we think of, like, we go back to Scopes, where science felt like they were the oppressed ones.
Yes.
And that the juggernaut was creationism.
Yes.
And the scientists were the poor, little, intelligent, only honest people seeking truth were being squashed.
Yes.
Well, today it's the total reverse. reverse. We've gone 180 degrees.
Yes, we have.
It is now a minority science view that is squashing any kind of discussion of the issue that may not agree with their accepted theory.
And the most powerful arguments are obviously from scientists who disagree with the data. And when those scientists come and want to talk, well, let's talk just purely science. That is the most threatening of all of the people. I mean, somebody pounding on a Bible coming into a classroom is immediately understood as, well, that's that kind of person. But somebody comes in and saying, listen, let's take a look at the science behind Darwin. It's like, oh, no. Oh,
no.
Don't
do that. You know, even Al Gore's recent movie has come up with a lot of critique lately of showing a lot of falsehoods on it. We can maybe cover that in another Sink the Beagle of just the just out-and-out blatant lies on a movie on global warming, the bad science.
Bad science.
And yet you'd think that, well, maybe because it's bad science, we should throw it out. You know, we have a torpedo text sort of on this topic of a fair hearing, so to speak, Stan. Of, you know, Darwin says a fair result, let's put it in the context, that Darwin said a fair result can be obtained only by fully balancing the facts and arguments on both sides of each question. And to a degree, when it comes to the court and justice, the Bible agrees with Darwin.
I was saying that sounded like the verse following the one I'm going to read, but let me read this from Isaiah 43:26, a New American Standard Version. Put me in remembrance, God speaking.
I get a voice.
Yeah, don't forget me. Remember me. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right.
God gives you an opportunity. Don't forget me, but we're gonna have this thing out.
Yes.
We're gonna look at both sides.
Bring your best stuff.
Bring your best stuff. And watch me just squish it. But anyway, because he's God.
Yes.
But the point is that even God recognizes justice and fairness.
Right.
And that is really the sad part of our intellectual discussion today. In academic science today, there is no justice or fairness when it comes to a hearing on Darwinism or neo-Darwinism as a valid, it's accepted as fact, case, you know, game, set, and match kind of approach. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what it really is. But for many people, and honest people, sincere people, who believe that they have a lot better arguments than Darwin or neo-Darwinism does.
What the sad part of this is, John, and I experienced this list a little bit as a geology student in the 70s at UC Riverside, there is a closed-mindedness that kind of reminds you of the medieval church and heresy trials and let's get rid of the guys that are, you know, stirring the pot and so forth. The sadness is, and we'll talk about this in a future Sink the Beagle on the Expel movie that's out right now, the idea that scientists who disagree with the norm, you know, those that are disagreeing with Darwin are actually being, they lose their tenure, they get fired in some cases from universities. They're kind of hunted.
They're blacklisted so they can't get in somewhere else.
Yep.
You know, what the irony is if you want to go for a place where at least you will hear the truth, you can't go to public education anymore.
Oh my.
It is not public. The best place to go to hear the truth and actually get almost somewhat of a fair hearing on both sides is to go to the private schools.
The private schools,
They will use the textbooks often put out by the public school system, but they will just argue another point of view
They'll explain evolution the way it is taught. They'll give the correct definitions and the support for it, but they'll also argue. But on the other hand, there's this evidence that seems to suggest something else. You get both sides, both cases, like Darwin said.
You know, I like that. You know, Stan, I teach in such a class every spring. I get it in the origin class, and I get to share 8 lectures and balance, literally, I can do it without too much difficulty,
But
we can balance the view of evolution in just a short time and just show that there is another view that makes just as much logical sense and just as much empirical sense as evolution.
It would be fair to hear that.
Yeah, and so we want to hear a fair hearing. Come and listen to
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.